Welcome to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen. It's one of the basic tastes the human palate recognizes. Salt is ubiquitous, and even the smallest dash can enliven a dish. Many with high blood pressure are told to avoid salt, but those who are drawn to it know white table salt is the least of what's out there.
So, what's the scoop on salt? Why is table salt iodized? Is it true some salts are saltier than others? What about sea salt, kosher salt, pink Himalayan salt, Hawaiian black salt? Are they more nutritious or better for you? Here with a granular look at salt is Carrie Ann Jennings, a registered dietitian and freelance nutrition writer based in Vermont, who contributes to WebMD, FoodNetwork.com, and other publications.
Welcome to Take Care, Carrie Ann. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Used to be it was just salt, but now we have all these other salts. Is there really a difference? What is the thing that separates the various kinds of salts from each other that are now available?
The table salt that you're talking about, that is kind of our most iconic and what we call regular salt. And the thing to know about that type of salt is that it's iodized, meaning they have added iodine to it because way back when people weren't getting enough iodine in their diets. And so everyone uses salt and it was an easy way to get it in. So that type of salt is the most kind of refined salt. It has smaller crystals. It has that iodine added, which is important if you're not getting iodine from other sources like fish or like dairy, then that might be the main way you get iodine in your diet. They also have anti-caking agents added. So that is the most processed.
And is that a healthy choice or not the healthiest choice? Aside from the iodine that's added, what about those caking agents? Are those considered chemicals that they're adding?
They are considered chemicals. You know, they are recognized as safe in the quantities and in the use that they are used. They're things that would not be helpful for you if you had a whole lot of them, but the amount that is used in table salt isn't a problem.
Now, what about kosher salt? You mentioned that table salt is refined, and those of us who have worked with kosher salt know that it is coarser grained, and I think it might be saltier, or is it sea salt that's saltier? But what about kosher salt? Why was it invented, and how is it best used?
Yeah. So kosher salt is a larger grain, as you mentioned, and it was invented in order to process kosher meat. And so the kosher salt, because it's a larger flake, was better at drawing the blood out of the meat. So we can still use it, and actually it still has that effect when we're cooking with it of holding on to moisture. So if you're actually using kosher salt for cooking, you might use it in meat where it helps to keep the meat more moist. The other thing about kosher salt is a lot of chefs prefer kosher salt because it is a larger grain, and so you can actually pinch it and, you know, throw it into the food that you're cooking that way. So it's a more tactile salt. You also asked whether it was saltier or not. And the interesting thing about all these salts, whether it's table salt or kosher salt or sea salt, is that they all have the same amount of sodium in them by weight. But because there's a difference in the size of the grains, the larger grain salts will have less sodium in it by volume.
Interesting. All right, so you have to be careful when you're measuring, or how?
Right, are they interchangeable in cooking? Because you can make a real mistake.
Right, so, you know, in Britain, if you look at the recipes, they're all by weight. And so in that case, if you're, you know, they're saying 1 gram of salt, it wouldn't make a difference what type of salt you're using. But if you're reading an American recipe and it says you need 1 teaspoon of salt, that is referring to table salt usually. And so there will be a difference. If you substituted kosher salt, 1 teaspoon of kosher salt, you'd be getting less salt. So you can use that to your advantage in a way and use that to make recipes less salty. But I would watch out if you're using a baking recipe or something where the amounts should be a bit more precise.
All right, let's move on to sea salt, because for those who think, oh, I want to get the most natural form of salt, sea salt seems to make sense. Is sea salt really from the sea, and what does it offer?
It is really from the sea. And so as opposed to salt mines that table salt comes from, sea salt is from evaporated salt water. The benefit of sea salt is that it has a bit of extra minerals from whatever environment it's from. And so that's why sea salt is usually a little bit different depending on where it's from. And, you know, if you see specialty brands and you notice that it's saying, you know, this is Celtic sea salt, and they have different colors. And those different colors mean they have different minerals in them. And they can have a variety of minerals. Now, I'm not quite clear on whether they have enough minerals to actually make a difference. And, you know, I would always recommend that you're better off getting the variety of vitamins and minerals from, you know, fruits and vegetables and other food in your diet, not just using extra salt.
So when we're talking then about that next level of special salt, there's this whole category of gourmet salt. Who knew? Himalayan salts, pink salt from Peru. There's red salt from Hawaii. There's black salt. And there's that very expensive stuff I'm hearing about, fleur de sel. What about these salts? Should we spend the money?
The thing about these salts is that they are beautiful. They do have an extra special flavor. I usually use them more as a finishing salt. So all salt gets dissolved when it's exposed to heat and liquid. And so if you're just, you know, throwing them in and using them in cooking, you really will lose any of that special flavor and texture. But they do, especially the fleur de sel, they have that nice, like kind of flat or pyramid-like texture. They're more of the snowflake of the salt world. And they also have a higher moisture content, which means it dissolves more slowly. So if you're adding that type of salt to, say, sliced tomatoes or to some steamed green beans, you're going to be able to taste the texture and the flavor more of the salt than if you were just to cook with it. So I think of them as, like you say, as a gourmet ingredient that you can use to give a little extra oomph to your dishes, but they shouldn't be your main standby for cooking.
If I'm not a gourmand and I'm most concerned with the healthiest, best salt in terms of nutrition and cost and everything, what would you recommend?
I would recommend that any kind of salt is going to be equal in terms of nutrition, but that the thing to watch out for is the amount that you're having. And there is a, because all of these types of salts have a ton of sodium, right? That's what they're made of, is sodium chloride. And the recommended limit for the amount of sodium we're supposed to have each day is 2,300 milligrams. And that's equivalent to one teaspoon of table salt. So you can see that you can really meet that quite quickly if you are using salt throughout your day and if you're having a lot of, you know, prepared foods in restaurants or processed foods that would have salt added to it. So I would say, you know, if you're not getting iodine through other means, use some table salt. If you're trying to cut down on the amount of sodium, maybe use some kosher salt since it's coarser and you might not, you know, use as much of it and be as liberal if you're shaking it in. And if you're looking for the extra minerals, then try some sea salt.
Now, for those people who are trying to cut back on their salt intake, what about the salt substitutes that are right there next to the salts and the spice aisle? What are they made of, and are they a good choice?
They can be a good choice. Those are usually a blend of potassium chloride as well as the sodium chloride. And potassium actually does help to lower blood pressure. So when people are using them as a way to help lower their blood pressure, that can be a good choice. The thing to watch out for is that they can be bad for certain people. Like actually, if you take high blood pressure medication or diuretics, they can actually be dangerous to take because of the extra potassium.
Carrie Ann Jennings, a registered dietitian and freelance nutrition writer based in Vermont, a contributor to WebMD, FoodNetwork.com, and other publications. Thanks so much for joining us on Take Care and educating us about salt.
You're welcome. It was a pleasure to be here.